Hi, and welcome to Guideposts. I'm your volunteer reader, Sandy Summers. Today, we will finish reading the April-May 2025 issue of Guideposts with articles like Hidden Treasure, and then return to the archives and read from Guideposts May 2021. Comfort from Beyond, Hidden Treasure. I'd held on to an old landscape painting of my late grandmother's only because I liked the frame. By Kelly Gallagher, West Sand Lake, New York. Just a little further. I reached up to push the plastic box just one more centimeter to the left so I could get something in my crafts closet. 1 centimeter too far, it turned out. Avalanche. Everything came crashing down. Scrapbook paper, glue sticks, beads, unfinished projects, markers, yarn, all scattered across the hardwood floor. My husband, Alan, came running in. What happened? I was getting something out of the closet, I said. I thought I needed a project to give me a lift. Alan looked at the mess. I guess you found one, he said. Cleaning up. Ha ha, I said. But Alan had a point. Obviously, the closet needed organizing if I wanted to avoid more disasters like this one. Sometimes straightening up could soothe my spirits, too. I started pulling things out. Boxes, bags, baskets. What was that in the back? Something made of wood. Oh, yeah. I pulled out a large, dusty painting. Normally, I loved landscape paintings, but the forest in this one was too dark and solemn to go on my walls. The only reason I had it was because it belonged to my grandmother. It seemed like yesterday I was gathered with my family at her house after her funeral. I know it would make sense to have a yard sale, my dad said, and he looked around at all of Grandma's belongings. But I'd feel better knowing her things are with us. Everyone looked around to see what you might want to take. Surveying the house, I didn't know where to start. When I was growing up, Grandma lived right next door. I saw these things, the matching cookie jars, the spoon rest, every day. They all held precious memories for me. I moved toward the cookie jar, but my cousin Shannon got there first. I love these, she said, picking them up. My cousin Domino took the rooster-shaped spoon rest. This will go great in my kitchen. Grandma used to give me cookies out of those jars, I thought. I remember that spoon rest covered in oatmeal as she made breakfast for me. These things aren't just knickknacks to decorate your house. But I didn't want to fight over them. I knew that Grandma wouldn't care for that. Besides, my cousins had as much right to her things as I did. That's what I told myself, but as I drifted from room to room, I felt more and more unhappy. Each item claimed by someone else felt like a memory being stolen from me. Quietly, I set aside a few things, like the glass goblet she filled with chocolate pudding and the green bird figurines I played with while I watched cartoons, but mostly I just stood by as things were claimed by my more assertive relatives. "Take a look at these," Shannon called from Grandma's bedroom. "Perfume bottles." I went to the bedroom to have a look. The bottles were beautiful, all different shapes and shiny brass tops. Maybe we could each take one, I thought, but I could tell from Shannon's face that she really liked them all. So I put down the bottle I was looking at and turned toward the bed. "I'll take that," I said, pointing to the landscape over the headboard. I had no idea why I'd said that. Maybe I was so upset at everything I'd lost that I was ready to grab at anything. Looking at the painting now, I wondered again why I'd done it. It had just been sitting in my closet all this time. The somber landscape didn't mean anything to me, unlike the goblets and the cookie jars. My cousins hadn't thought much of the painting either. "It doesn't speak to me," Domino said, when I took it off the wall. But that day, the painting must have said something to me. Something nudged me to schlep it home. "Probably the frame," I decided. "I'll put another painting in it," I told myself. I'd wanted a project after all. Organizing the closet could wait. I went to the kitchen for a butter knife and used it to carefully pry out the nails that held the picture. One by one, they dropped to the floor, the backing slowly falling away from the frame until I could pull at it and the landscape out in one swift motion to reveal, "Oh my gosh, Grandma!" For the second time, Alan came running in. "Look at this," I said. Under the landscape was a second painting. Technically, a hand-colored photograph of my grandparents on their wedding day in June 1941. I was looking right into Grandma's eyes. It was like receiving an unexpected visit from her. My spirit soared. Alan admired the picture over my shoulder. "They look so young," he said, It's like finding a buried treasure. I wondered why it was hidden. I don't know, I said, but I had a theory. If this portrait had been hanging out in the open in Grandma's house, someone else would surely have claimed it while I looked on, feeling sorry for myself. Its concealment was the only reason I was holding it in my hands today. I hadn't wanted to fight over my grandmother's things, so someone, maybe an angel, had tucked aside something extra special just for me. Family Room. Meet the people in our pages. Mary Bryant Schrader, Spiritual Readiness, page 12, received good news for both herself and her son Ben. Her editor asked her to write a follow-up to her first bestseller, The Modern Pioneer Cookbook. Her second book, The Modern Pioneer Pantry, available for pre-order now, will be published by Penguin Random House in August, with step-by-step instructions and beautiful photography. This book helps you create a four corners pantry and includes more than 100 recipes covering home canning, fermenting, dehydrating, freezing, pickling, and more. The Modern Pioneer Cookbook curriculum has lesson plans to teach students in K through 12 how to make traditional food and gain lifelong skills in the kitchen. You can download Mary's free curriculum, perfect for homeschooling, and access her Mary's Nest YouTube channel from marysnest.com/guideposts. She plans to provide another free curriculum for her second book. Ben, who returned to the hospital for a gamma knife procedure after his tumor began to grow back, is now tumor-free. Best of all, he became engaged to a lovely lady from El Paso, Texas last year. They pray and attend Mass together and will be married in Austin, Texas in late spring. Living on land surrounded only by sagebrush and pinyon pine would be lonely to many, but Lou Dean, My Easter Stray, page 42, loves her acre in northwest Colorado. Dell, her Aussie border collie, will soon have a companion. After we lost our border collie Tuck last winter, Dell said, I have been slow to revisit the possibility of a new friend. But we need a buddy to hike with, Lou says. She intends to go shelter shopping this spring. Favor, the former stray cat, now has the feeding routine memorized. About 5 p.m., Lou gives Dell his basketball to play with. Favor has come to realize that when Dell's mind is on the ball, he won't harass her, Lou says. The minute Dell begins to push her ball, Favor strolls confidently across the yard to meet me. Lou's memoir, The Amazing Grace of Dogs, is the unforgettable story of how love from canine companions gave her the strength to survive family tragedy and the grace to become an award-winning author. Autumn of the Big Snow, Lou's latest novel, and a finalist in the 2024 Colorado Book Awards, is set in my beloved foothills, where I have hiked and prayed for 36 years, she says. For more about Lou's life and writing, visit loudean.com. Chanel Eliason, Mama's Hands, page 34, is happiest when she's taking care of people. After 22 years of homeschooling her five sons, she became a phlebotomist in a busy outpatient lab. Although the skills were hard to master, she gained peace and confidence in her job and now takes great joy in helping those who are anxious, hurting, or worried. She also facilitates her church's weekly women's Bible study. Perhaps her favorite way to encourage others, though, is through her writing. She's written devotions for Walking in Grace since 2015. Her oldest son, Logan, is a contributor, too. She writes about caregiving for her parents in our Strength and Grace devotional magazine and for our Someone Cares greeting cards. A book for mothers about releasing their children to God's care, a middle grade novel, and a children's book about a mouse at Christmas are all in the works. When Chanel has free time, she and her husband Lonnie can likely be found having adventures with their boys or enjoying convertible rides through rural Iowa with their chocolate Labrador, Hazel, aka Little Girl. As a New Year's resolution in 2020, Jessica Reed, Night and Day, page 36, committed to taking a walk every day. All she expected to get out of it was better health. She chose to walk around her town of Walton, New York, so she wouldn't be able to make an excuse when her car was snowed in and she couldn't drive to a trail. The concern was she'd lived in Walton for such a long time and knew it so well that there would be nothing left to discover, or so she thought. One day she noticed something weird, a group of abandoned stuffed animals having a party, complete with drinks. Then she started noticing more peculiar things. Trees wearing clothes, a garden of folks, art installations in the woods. I began to keep a lookout for anything out of the ordinary, she says, things that would bring me to stand still and put a smile on my face. She posted photos of her finds on Facebook under the title, Walk Every Day Until You Find Something Weird. 5 years later, Jessica is still walking every day, finding the weird and wonderful, a practice that's turned out to be good for both body and soul. Continued. How a story made a difference. Unexpected gifts. Susie Bevan sent me a lovely letter after reading my story, Sweet Tea, Sweet Times, in the Joys of Christmas 2020, about my Aunt Chrissy's sweet tea forming the cornerstone of our family holiday gatherings. Susie painted a watercolor based on the photograph of Aunt Chrissy from the story and sent a photocopy in her letter. I called Susie and we arranged to surprise Aunt Chrissy with the portrait. Then she and Susie talked on the phone for hours. In July 2023, Susie invited Aunt Chrissy and me to her 80th birthday celebration in Virginia, almost 4 hours away. We made a road trip of it and were delighted to celebrate Susie's amazing life of kindness alongside her family and friends. During her party, Susie gave me a surprise that brought me to tears, a beautiful watercolor painting of a photo of me that appeared in one of my guidepost stories. Sharing my heartfelt holiday story with guideposts has given me two unexpected gifts, a new friend, and a painting I will cherish forever. Tanya Mae Avent, Woolridge Township, New Jersey. All things are possible. Emily E. Ryan's story, A Teacher's Heart, in your August-September 2024 issue, resonated deeply with my heart and soul. I am a writer and nanny, but I was once a teacher. I retired 2 months before the COVID-19 crisis began, after a 25-year career. I know well the hard work, dedication, frustration, and exhaustion that come with teaching. I also know that God-inspired rewards of reaching students and developing lifelong relationships with them. Like Emily, I found one of my greatest passions was instilling a love of reading in my fifth graders, as well as helping them hone their writing skills. Emily's story delivered a powerful message that any current or aspiring teacher would benefit from. With perseverance and faith in God, all things are possible. That includes inspiring students who might at first seem less than eager to embrace the power of the written word. Beth Crane, O'Fallon, Missouri. Has a guidepost story inspired you? Tell us about it at continued@guideposts.org. I'm Sandy Summers, and you're listening to Guideposts on Sun Sounds of Arizona, a 24-hour reading and information service for people who can't read print due to a disability. If you missed any part of this program, you may access it anytime on demand at www.sunsounds.org. In addition to the bi-monthly Guidepost magazine, each week we may be reading some of Guidepost's other daily devotions or inspiring stories from Guideposts online. We've now concluded reading the April-May 2025 issue of Guideposts, and we'll return to the archives with the May 2021 issue of Guideposts. Editor's Note by Edward Grinnan, Editor-in-Chief. Gratitude and Hope. Our cover story this month is a moving account of addiction, recovery, and the miraculous gifts of sobriety. If ever there seemed a hopeless case of a person ensnared in addiction's downward spiral, it was Jocelyn James Edmonds. She had lost everything to her crippling drug habit and appeared destined to become yet another statistic in the scourge of addiction. Then came the miracle. A day at a time, she turned her life around. But it is the next miracle she tells you about that will take away your breath away. I too was once hopeless. In my book, The Promise of Hope, I wrote about my addiction to alcohol and drugs and the despair I felt of ever recovering. Yet I had been sober for more than a quarter of a century, a fact that staggers my mind. But I must never forget that those still suffer from this disease, who falsely feel what I once did, that sobriety lies beyond addiction's shadow. In this dreadful pandemic, drug overdose deaths have risen almost 20%. Stress, economic uncertainty, and isolation have exacerbated what was already a crisis. At a time when so many are struggling, it is easy to overlook the struggles of the addicted. But what they need, we can all give: love, understanding, and prayers. You'll notice we have a double cover this month. That's because we wanted to remind you of the exciting changes coming to your Guidepost magazine, starting with the June-July issue, and give you a little preview. As announced last month, Guidepost will shift to a bi-monthly publication schedule and increase the size of each issue to a minimum of 100 pages. We'll also include new features you've been asking for. Take a peek at guidepost.org. One last thing, this issue features a special section on Alzheimer's disease and caregiving starting on page 29. It is a subject close to my heart and concern for so many of you readers. If you are a caregiver, Guidepost is here for you with a variety of resources. Please go to guidepost.org/caringinfo. Check out Edward's blog at guidepost.org/edblog. The upside, quotes from today's positive thinkers. I am not a complainer. If I was that type of person, I would be cluttering the path that God has laid out for me, and I wouldn't be able to walk. Regina King, Oscar-winning actor. When you replace judgment with curiosity, everything changes. Robin Conley Downs, educator and author of The Feel Good Effect, reclaim your wellness by creating small shifts that create big change. Reading gets us into God's Word. Meditation gets God's Word into us. Mark Batterson, pastor and author of Win the Day, 7 Daily Habits to Help You stress Less and Accomplish More. I really, really think the secret to being loved is to love, and the secret to being interesting is to be interested, and the secret to having a friend is being a friend. Best-selling author, Glennon Doyle. Moods are contagious. Make sure you are spreading good ones. Dr. Henry Cloud, clinical psychologist and author. Tend to your thoughts with care. They have the power to grow weeds or flowers. Cleo Wade, poet. Don't try to be someone else. Don't try to be something else. No one can be better at being you than you. Robin Roberts, Good Morning America anchor. Hope is the thing that gets you to stand up when others say sit down. It's the thing that gets you to speak when others say be quiet. Brian Stevenson, founder of the Equal Justice Initiative, which provides legal representation to people who have been wrongly convicted and unfairly sentenced. If you take the smallest steps towards God, He will take very large steps towards you. Jay DeMarcus, basis for Rascal Flatts. Stop telling yourself you need to be fearless. You don't. You simply need to be courageous. Author and motivational speaker, Valerie Burton. You have your purpose on this planet and in this universe, whatever it might be. It could be benign, it could be small, or it could be massive. But there's no difference in importance. It's just what you are placed here to do. Steven Yeun, actor. Your mind will always believe everything you tell it. Feed it faith. Feed it truth. Feed it with love. Submitted by Guidepost reader Leslie Chandler of West Hartford, Connecticut. The saying goes, treat others like you want to be treated, but perhaps we got it all backward. Maybe the expression should say, treat yourself with the same love and respect that you want to show others. Jay Shetty, former monk turned author. Someone cares, pass it on. Magic markers. In 2015, my friend's 3-year-old daughter, Lily, was diagnosed with cancer. As an oncology nurse, I knew the challenges that she and her family faced. I couldn't stop thinking about Lily's beautiful blonde hair, which she'd lose during her treatment. I decided to crochet a wig for her. Yarn is much softer on the scalp than a traditional wig. Using my yellow yarn, I made a wig with long hair just like Rapunzel's from the Disney movie Tangled. Lily loved it, and getting the wig really lifted her spirits. I knew I had to create more wigs for other kids battling cancer. I talked to my friend Bree Hitchcock, and together we founded the Magic Yarn Project. We converted my garage into a craft room and enlisted other friends to help. We held workshops to teach people how to make the princess-themed wigs, as well as crocheted beanies inspired by kids' favorite animated characters, from Spider-Man to Minnie Mouse. Today, we have 15 chapters around the United States. Our volunteers, including some who are incarcerated, have created more than 30,000 wigs for children in 51 countries. There is no cost to help to the children's families. Want to help? Visit themagicyarnproject.com or find us on Facebook. Holly Christensen, Palmer, Alaska. Paperless for good. Sorting through the day's mail, I saw a familiar return address. It was a letter from a charitable organization updating me on its work in the community. I skimmed the letter and realized that I'd received the same information in an email the day before. This isn't the best use of money and resources, I thought. I wrote to the organization asking to be removed from its print mailing list. I explained that I had already receiving emails and that the organization could save postage and printing costs as well as volunteer labor by not sending me duplicate information. I closed by writing how much I appreciated all the organization's good work, then sent off the letter using the return envelope. I hope removing myself from duplicate mailing lists helps charities put a little more of their resources towards doing good work. It also helps our planet by minimizing paper waste. Susan Blandina Jones, Indianapolis, Indiana. A box of love. I cradled my newborn baby and tried to help my three-year-old children with their distance learning. Because of the pandemic, they were all home all the time, and I was exhausted. My son looked up from his computer screen. I already knew what he was going to say. "Mom, can I have a snack?" he asked. The other two also chimed in. Keeping the kids fed and the house clean was a never-ending job, and I was desperate for a break. That afternoon, I posted on social media about how worn out I was. The next day, a friend called and said, "I'm leaving a box on your porch." I opened the box. Whoa, it was filled with kid-friendly snacks and even a few prepared dinners. All I had to do was pop them in the oven. I felt my stress level go down several notches. My friend's gift meant so much. In answer to my post, she figured out how to help me in a tangible way, instead of just scrolling past or clicking like. That box of snacks felt more like a box of love. Anna E. Rendell, Farmington, Minnesota. Have your own story of kindness and caring to tell? Email us at sc@guideposts.org. Mysterious ways, more than coincidence. I called to confirm I'd be babysitting my two-year-old granddaughter, Ella, that afternoon. Though not quite noon, the day was already sweltering. Maybe that was why I'd been feeling lightheaded all morning, despite the air conditioning. "Grammy," Ella shouted, "you and me go to spool." That's what she called my neighbor's swimming pool. The request surprised me. Ella never suggested anything, let alone so enthusiastically. "Ella, you have to ask nicely," my daughter-in-law Amanda chided. "We go to spool today, please?" "We'll see, sweetie," I said. I work from home and had a few tasks to complete. I hoped Ella would forget about the pool by the time I got her. Still, I put on my bathing suit underneath my clothes just in case. Trying to shake off my brain fog, I finished up my work email. I was on my way to my son's when I realized I'd forgotten my towel. Ella and I would have to stop back at the house. Maybe then I could convince her to play with her dollhouse instead. Ella greeted me, dressed in her swimsuit. Amanda had even applied sun lotion. "Grammy, spool." Well, that settled it. I'd have to pick up my towel, but somehow I missed the turnoff for home. Instead, I drove to the pool. It was hot enough to air dry. But what was up with me? As Ella and I dipped our toes in the water, my phone rang. It was another neighbor. "Holly, you're all right?" "Why wouldn't I be? Your house is on fire." The fire department said a gas leak of unknown origin, perhaps methane from an old well, might have been building for some time. That could explain why I'd been feeling so fuzzy-headed and strange lately. When the automatic pilot light for the water tank switched on, an explosion tore through the basement, bringing the first floor down. Now I understood what, or who, had made Ella insist on going to the pool. Polly Augenstein, 84, Pennsylvania. Have your own mysterious ways story? Send it to mw@guideposts.org. As a nonprofit organization, Guidepost has been serving customers for more than 75 years, and we are committed to serving you for another 75 years. Thank you for being our trusted partners in this mission to help make the world better through the power of faith, hope, and prayer. Edward Grinnan, Editor-in-Chief. That's all the time we have today for Guideposts. Thank you for listening. My name is Sandy Summers. Stay tuned for more great programming on Sun Sounds.